This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
It's a dinosaur.
Uh-huh. How fast are they?
Well, we clocked the T-Rex at 32 miles an hour.
T-Rex?
Mm-hmm.
You said you've got a T-Rex?
Uh-huh.
Say again.
We have a T-Rex.
Wow.
Put your head between your knees.
Dr. Grant. My dear Dr. Sattler. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Hello everyone and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan, sharing the same room and away from us as always, but together in spirit and in technology, we have Arvind Yuvaraj. Hello.
Hello, hello.
So today on Throwback Tuesday, we are doing, I can't tell if you can tell how excited we all are. And that clip really just gave it away completely because we are going to be throwing back today to 1993's classic Jurassic Park.
Yes, I'm so glad that I'm on a show with people who agree with me when I say, I think we should talk about Jurassic Park on a week when cinemas are finally opening in Malaysia. Whether you're excited about it or not, I don't think any of us can run away from the fact that we've probably all had that big cinema moment. And for many people, Jurassic Park was one of them.
Yeah. I mean, if you could count like the pillars of cinema, like all the big movies that came out, or if you had to make an argument of why cinema should go on and it shouldn't move completely to streaming and why people should still go out and watch stuff on the big screen, Jurassic Park has to be like maybe the top three, if not number one of all time.
At least for people of a certain age and generation, I think.
I mean, if you didn't watch it, you just missed out. Your life is never going to be, it's never going to be complete. Just give up,
I think that we could extend this to the rest of, or to the Jurassic franchise as a whole. And we're not talking about quality here. We're just talking about spectacle. For sheer spectacle, I think the Jurassic's franchise, the parks, the worlds, the rest of it, all of it, is really, a very, very cinematic experience. But we did want to go all the way back to the first one, partly because it's the first, partly also because it's so special. It is such a special movie. I mean, it's the first time, I think, that a lot of us saw what would be possible on screen. The fact that they could bring back dinosaurs.
Yes.
I mean, like realistic looking dinosaurs.
No, rewatching the movie, and I actually literally just rewatched it this weekend. Not for the first time, this is like for the 20th time or something, but I suddenly remembered how much I learned from that film. I learned about DNA from that film. I learned about the different kinds of dinosaurs from that film. I learned that people think they evolved to become birds from that film. And when you say special, I think that's actually a really important word because that movie gives me big feelings. It still gives me big feelings. When I rewatch it now, even on a small screen, it still gives me those big feelings. And I think that has a lot to do with how Steven Spielberg makes movies. He makes movies to be watched on that scale. And that's part of the reason why that film does something that I don't think any of the subsequent ones do.
I learned about screensavers from that movie.
Oh, yes.
Especially when you put in the wrong password and you get like Dennis going, you didn't get the magic word. I don't know if I would be doing a show like this, like a movie show. I don't know if I would be as obsessed with film and movies if it was not for Jurassic Park. It's literally the first movie that I saw in cinemas. I was like six. And at six, when you see like a dinosaur show up on screen, especially when the T-Rex is one of my earliest memories, like seeing the T-Rex sort of come out of its enclosure, it stays with you. Like it never ever leaves. So yeah, you know, it's special.
Before we get too far away from it, so if you've not watched Jurassic Park and you think that it's just all dinosaurs, basically there is pretty strong plot. There's a tight plot that kind of powers the movie, I think. And it focuses on the fact that you have a eccentric rich person who has decided that, you know what, if you take some blood from a mosquito from, you know, the Cretaceous era or whatever, and then you extract DNA, and then, hey, you kind of plonk in a frog DNA along the way to kind of plug some holes. Ta-da, we can have dinosaurs, it turns out. And the whole thing, the whole movie takes place over the course of pretty much a weekend, right, where he has invited people to come to the island. You know, we have Dr. Grant, we have Dr. Sattler, we have Ian Malcolm, and we have a lawyer. And essentially, they're
and two children.
Two children. Of course, yes. And they're all coming to the island to visit and assess it for different reasons, right? Partly to say that they give their stamp of approval to it. It's safe enough to open. It's ready to go. And for the kids, they're supposed to be able to see this whole thing of wonder. And that's really where the show starts from.
Mm. And of course, it is a creature feature in its essence, that's what it is. However, it's also it also belongs to the monster movie genre. It also belongs to the genre of the hubris of man and
pure sci-fi.
Yeah, and it's sci-fi. So there's a lot of things going on, but it's also meant to be. It does this weird thing where you're both simultaneously terrified by what you're watching on screen, but also filled with the wonder that the characters are. So, you know, that iconic scene when, you know, Dr. Grant sees the Brachiosaur for the first time on screen, and that's when we see it for the first time. You're filled with that wonder of possibility of science and all that it can achieve. And that's kind of what makes it special, because suddenly you realize the awesome power that we have in our hands when we are capable of these things.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's so smart because it works on like on multiple levels, right? So when you're a kid and you watch something like Jurassic Park, you don't care about the deeper story of them talking about just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just because we have the power to do something doesn't mean we should use that power to do something. And those are like the deeper themes that Ian Malcolm is always talking about, the chaos theory and stuff. But when you're a kid, all you care about are the dinosaurs. Like, you know, how many dinosaurs are going to show up? You know, when is the T-Rex going to show up? When are the raptors going to show up? And are they going to escape? And are they going to make it out alive? And so when you watch it that young, it delivers on all fronts. And then when you watch it as a grown-up, you're like, whoa, there is so much more to this movie that I did not understand the first few times I saw it. So it's a multi-level movie, I think.
I think it needs to also be pointed out that these characters that we're mentioning, they're played by some really power-packed actors, right? So Dr. Grant is played by Sam Neill, Ellie Sattler was Laura Dern, Ian Malcolm was Jeff Goldblum, possibly my first on-screen crush, I might say.
Do you have to say Jeff Goldblum like that?
I do. I always do, every single time. Yes. And Richard Attenborough plays Dr. Hammond, who is said rich person who decides to build the park.
Yes. And is a real, and there is this push and pull as well between displaying nature as it is and, you know, wanting to put on a bit of a show, right? There's a bit of a recurring line with Hammond, where he keeps saying no expenses were spared, mm-hmm. no expenses were spared. And that extends to the ice cream, to the electric cars that for some reason still run on batteries. Come on. And, you know, there are all these things about it. But what I find most satisfying about, there are two things that I find most satisfying about Jurassic Park. And I think we only have time to talk about one on this side of things. It is a movie that makes perfect sense. So like Arvin said, when you watch it as a kid, you don't care about that. You just care about the dinosaurs, you know, when is the next time that you're going to see another dinosaur? But watching it now as an adult, and also having watched all the other Jurassic films, this movie makes a lot of sense. There is constant payoff. So if someone tells you early on how velociraptors hunt,
yes,
that pays off later on. If someone early on does something out of greed, that also comes back to bite them later on. So there is all this foreshadowing, and also there is nothing introduced to the movie that's wasteful. You know, everything that shows up has a payoff. And I think that's just so satisfying as a viewer.
No, absolutely. I think one of the things that comes across as you when you watch it as an adult is that it is the thing that it does so well is that it's a movie that's been thought through. It is based on a book. I mean, Michael Crichton wrote a great book. But it pairs away the excess and takes all the things that make perfect sense. And it's a beautifully piece together story.
So we're talking today about Jurassic Park, or rather we are throwing it back because it is now 27 years old, if you can believe. So we would love to know whether you are also a big fan of Jurassic Park. Have you rewatched it recently? Do you think the effects hold up? That's what we're going to be talking about after this. You can let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899. And of course, you can tweet us as well at BFM Radio. You are listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. We've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here. Now, now, right now. Let's go, go, go. Let's go. Hey. Start the engine. Must go faster.
Let him move!
Look out! Think I'll have that on the tour?
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila, and today we are throwing it back to Jurassic Park. And so we've covered, I think, the story, the plotting. Now let's talk about the effects. It's time. because I think the thing, of course, that sets Jurassic Park apart from all the other movies that have come after it, as well as in many ways the big effects movies in general of the last 20 years, is the tactility of it. Because famously, there are some actual robots. You know, there's some actual dino robots that were built to make this happen.
So watching it for the for this time around, the thing that struck me was actually how little the effects have aged, and also how minimal the actual CGI is compared to the stuff we see today. So the stuff that has aged is actually the CG. So that scene with the Brachiosaur, for instance, if you see it now, it's still really cool, but you can tell that the CG is not as good as we could have done it today. But when you see the T-Rex come by the car, when you see the Velociraptor opening the door, when Alan Grant lies on the Triceratops and it breathes, right?
Yeah.
Those scenes, they're amazing. You feel like you can reach out and touch their skin and you know what it would feel like. And I think that's why the film is magical.
And I think, like what you said, it's the skin. It's the texture of the skin that looks as real as it did in 1983 today. And I know, like, you know, the raptors kind of have that CGI effect. But I think this movie was one of those films that sort of invented technology for itself.
Yeah.
Like, they needed ways to make the raptors look lizard-like. And they needed ways to give it scales and, you know, for its skin to reflect. So they literally invented stuff for Jurassic Park that other movies have sort of adopted and used for itself. But it's also weird that, you know, in an age where, like, people talk about practical effects and they go, like, you know, CGI is cheaper to do and you can do so much more with CGI. Like, the technology has advanced so much and you can create worlds and you can make lions that look like lions and not like weird 3D creatures. I don't think there's a single form of CGI that looks like the T-Rex does in Jurassic Park.
Absolutely.
Like, even in all the subsequent movies, in Jurassic World especially, and then even in Fallen Kingdom, the T-Rex just looks too fluid. Like, you can tell that it's a weird CGI monster. You cannot tell in Jurassic Park. Like, you feel its weight, and you feel the way it moves, and you actually think there is this giant lizard walking like a chicken, coming out of its enclosure, ready to eat anyone and anything in sight. It's so cool that nothing has topped a movie from 1993 in terms of those effects.
And I actually kind of fell down a bit of a rabbit hole while trying to find out how they did the dinosaurs, for Jurassic Park, because like you said, Arvin, now if you want to do something, I just CG? Do you need a fly? Do you need a fly to be in a scene? We can CG that for you.
And it'll have a face and it can sing a song.
Exactly. That's the cat's cockroaches all over again. But the point is, you can do anything. And the way they did it with Jurassic Park was a combination of so many different things. So they did build a 20-foot tall T-Rex, you know, so that scene, the famous scene with the car and the roar and the smashing glass, that was done with a thing, you know. On the other hand, you also had people in raptor suits. They hired mimes so that they could capture the movement. You know, they did a mixture of, they were trying to do something called go motion, not stop motion animation. And in the end, they decided on CG. So it's a huge blend of things that came together to create, I think, all the different elements. And that's what works, as opposed to, I think, insisting on a robot being in every scene, which wouldn't have done as well. So it's that blend of doing exactly what's right for the movie, I think, that helps it all come together.
Just because we can do it doesn't mean we should.
Life finds a way, my friends.
But mm-hmm. I think, you know, we forget, because Steven Spielberg doesn't make as many movies as he used to, what a genius he is with things like this. Because when you watch Jurassic Park, you realize that dinosaur's head is so important in that scene, and because he's going to film it this way, and because you want for it to cut from the water to the eye to the children. So it's important that these things feel the way it feels to the people in the scene as well. It's not just there because they could come up with it out of, you know, technology. It's there because he's trying to tell a story and it's important to the story. And I think what we've moved away from these days is that the story should come first and then the technology serves that story. Spielberg is one of those filmmakers who I think still does that as far as he can. To me, I realize the reason why something like Jurassic Park sticks in my head a lot more than something like Avatar, which I did love when it came out, is that it's not grounded by that sense of story.
I mean, people tend to forget that before Jurassic Park, dinosaurs looked different. Jurassic Park did for dinosaurs what Jack Sparrow did to pirates. Like, they looked different before those movies came out. And if you look at the T-Rex in, like, Land Before Time, it used to be, like, this upright sort of Godzilla-looking lizard creature. But every T-Rex since Jurassic Park has looked like the thing in Jurassic Park. And they had to figure out what its roar would sound like. I think it's a mixture of, like, dogs and dolphins and gorillas.
And baby elephants. Something.
And baby elephants, yeah. So there was no reference. Like, when he had to make these creatures, there was nothing for him to look back on and go like, okay, so they can look like this, or let's follow a template from these movies or that movies. Dinosaurs before the Jurassic movies did not look anything like the dinosaurs in the Jurassic movies. And that's how much it sort of changed, not just Hollywood or film, but the way people saw dinosaurs forever.
Yeah, totally. It was a complete game changer. And I also wanted to touch on a word there, which is the word creature, because this is a creature feature in many, many ways. And Steven Spielberg famously made Jaws, which is another movie that also utilizes its creatures very carefully and that also did quite a lot with a broken Bruce, you know. So I always thought as a kid that we saw dinosaurs so much in Jurassic Park that it occupied an inordinate amount of screen time. But the truth of the matter is it's something like 14 minutes total.
Yes, exactly.
It's very little. And I also forgot how much of the movie Jeff Goldblum was sidelined for, you know, basically just reclining and spouting lines.
With a shirt half open, which I don't think many people complained about.
Here we go again.
Let's move on.
But my point is just, it's a movie that functions on those terms as well. And that's why I think Steven Spielberg has always said that Jurassic Park, in a way, is a spiritual sequel to Jaws, except on land. And I think it works on very much those same terms as well, where it doesn't overuse and it doesn't overplay its hand.
I think that's a great comparison, because if you rewatch Jaws, you'll also realize for what a short amount of time the shark was on screen. And I think it goes back to that idea of not overusing the thing that everyone's come to see. Because if you compare Jurassic Park to Jurassic World, The Lost World, dinosaurs are everywhere. They're in every frame. They're like running and jumping. And there are many more dinosaurs than there are humans. And somehow they just don't, you're just not as invested. In the first one, every glimpse of one makes you excited and filled with wonder. In the second one, you're kind of like, meh, okay, they're everywhere anyway. And I think Spielberg innately understands that.
Can we talk about the sequel since we're talking about The Lost World just for a bit? Because yeah. I love The Lost World. I love The Lost World. And I actually love, I don't like Jurassic Park 3. I've grown to love it over time. But I really like Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom. I'm not going to ask you guys if there are any that are better than Jurassic Park, because obviously they aren't. But do you guys like any of the sequels or think that they even come close? Because for me, fun-wise, Jurassic World comes closest, even though it looks nothing like the first one. But in terms of fun, it's the closest.
Okay, so I did not super love the original sequels, so The Lost World and Jurassic Park 3. Jurassic Park 3 in particular, I have serious issues with. But yeah. Jurassic World, while I understand that people have disliked it, and I understand why that is, because it does take a lot of the core structures that we've been talking about and go, nah, doesn't matter, look away, Chris Pratt. It's still fun, you're right. I know that it's not the same, it will never be the same, and I don't feel the same level of investment and fandom for the Jurassic World series as I do for the singular movie that is Jurassic Park. I'll still watch anything, though. Like, it doesn't matter. Keep them coming.
I'm a little bit more... I think I'm a little bit more circumspect by now. The Lost World, I really like. And I remember really liking it. I've never rewatched it, though. Subsequently, not a huge fan. I watched Jurassic World. I thought it was a fun ride. Don't really remember much of it. And didn't bother. Have we had another one after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't bother with that one. I'm not sure. I might watch Dominion. I might not. It's one of those things where, right, if somebody wants to watch it in a cinema, I will. But no, and I think it's because it's now become like any other monster movie creature feature. I don't find that it's special. And in some ways, it actually detracts from how much I love Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I also wanted to nudge like one of the main ingredients of this movie, which is John Williams. And I don't think the movie works without John Williams' score.
Yeah. Every time I hear it, it's just
chills.
Yeah, complete chills always. Just
goosebumps.
One of the best. So we've been talking today about Jurassic Park mostly. We touched on the others, but we've been focused on Jurassic Park. Do you remember watching it back in 1993? Have you rewatched it since? Are you a big fan? Are you not? Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my. And you can follow us as well on Twitter and Instagram. We are BFM Popcorn. You are listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.